Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and People's Choice Award winning podcast.
I just want to say, as People's Choice Award winners, we needed a good week and a half break to recover. So sorry we've been MIA, but we are back with a bang.
I know. Everybody was like freaking out. They're like, where's the podcast this week? And I said, Thanksgiving. We took a week off, but we're back and better than ever.
I mean, we are back with a big day. We have a special Ask a Guy podcast.
Yeah, this is a man panel.
It's a mantle.
Mantle.
Thank you. I thought about that on the drive here and I was like, I hope no one says it before me.
So we have three very attractive, accomplished men in this OR today.
I mean, yeah, we have some, hate to say it, guys, but some eye candy in here.
Yeah. You can say it.
Right, so in front of us.
So we'll go one by one so that everybody, the listeners, can identify your voice, your name. We'll jump right into Ask a Guy, and then we'll talk about your projects in the middle a little bit, and then round out with Ask a Guy questions.
Awesome.
Cool? Okay, so we'll start right here because he's closest to us.
Okay.
We have Brooks Like.
Yes.
Married to Julianne Hough, who we love here, and you are a former NHL.
Yep.
And now you are...
Player,
sorry.
Tanya's not big into sports.
Sports is not my thing.
That's all right.
And you started your own app.
Yep.
For fitness.
Yep. And more than that, yeah. But generally.
And we'll get into that. And you're just like the epitome of like, just... Like, you're just everything.
Manliness? I feel it from over here.
Right?
Like, Brooks is also married, which will be important as you introduce.
Yes.
So that we have something for everybody.
Yes. Amy Sugarman, ladies and gentlemen.
Married and thriving.
Yeah. Married life is good.
Yes.
Really good.
Okay. So to your right, we have Brad Goreski.
Hey, guys.
His voice will be hard for you to identify, but just so you all know.
I'm the gay guy sandwiched in between the two straight guys.
Back by popular demand.
And it's a sandwich that I think is tasty.
Oh, yeah. I'm happy to be the meat in it, that's for sure. Yeah, I love being here. I love any time with Becca and Tanya.
Yeah. Well, we love having you.
And Amy.
Yeah.
I
mean, you
can't forget about Amy.
And then to Brad's right, we have Nick Vial.
Is Vial how you say it, or is it
Vial?
That's Vial. What I thought.
Oh, I got Like right, and I said Vial wrong.
I know.
It's been four seasons, and Chris Harrison hasn't gotten it right, so I don't.
I pay attention. Thanks. We've talked about it before. Yeah, and you are our single spokesman today.
So excited about that.
I know you're never giving out advice as being a single bachelor, but here we are. Welcome. We wanted to have you on. But it's really cool because we have so many people, our listeners are constantly wondering, they're asking for marriage advice, they're asking mm-hmm. for dating advice. How do I approach this? Like, we have a really active listener on our Facebook group who's always in, he's asking, how does he approach this guy? How does he handle this relationship? So we wanted to kind of bring everyone in so that anyone who has a question that Tanya and I can't tackle on our own, we have the mantle.
Yeah, it's actually so good because I feel like we give our own opinions and our own advice, but
we're like, what does this mean anything?
It's not great.
It's just different from that. Guys and girls just have a different perspective.
It's really Mars and Venus. I'm beginning to realize the way that we view things are just completely different. Mm. So let's jump right in.
Well, we asked for these on Facebook. We got hundreds. We took them. We gave them to Becca and Tanya. They picked their favorites without knowing what the other was picking. Right. So I'm going to start with all the questions they both chose. So they're both interested in these.
That's cute.
Here's the first one that they both chose. From Faith. Does the type of underwear a girl is wearing really matter?
Okay.
You want me to go? You guys are looking at me.
Brad.
Yeah, I would say yeah. I mean, I'm even thinking about last night. My wife put on something really nice last night. We had a great night. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I think so. Definitely. There's an intent there. And I know that if she's doing something like that, she's sending a message. She's communicating to me in a way. And also it's desirable. It makes me gravitate to my wife. So I would say absolutely.
I agree. I think on the man, I like, don't you, doesn't everybody here have like their sex underwear kind of too? Like you have your like everyday and then you have like your underwear that, you know, you're going to like put on mm-hmm. and you know,
well,
that,
I hope
like,
I get lucky.
Mine are literally
a little
extreme.
Show in. Like, come on.
Like, mine are like 80-year-old granny unders. Like,
is that
like,
what you're wearing now?
No.
Wait,
no,
those,
okay, you're right.
Your granny panties are your sex undies?
No, I'm saying like I don't have like much in between. It goes from like just basic nude underwear to like really
like your
cute,
underwear
sexy.
For fittings.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Thank you, Brad.
You're welcome.
Let's get the single guy's opinion.
I would agree in the sense that it demonstrates intent and certainly certain kind of garments can get you excited and kind of look really nice. That being said, ultimately there's something sexy about a girl who can kind of look comfortable in her element and still look good. So ultimately, if you're interested as a guy, I don't think it's not going to stop me from being interested, but it can certainly escalate things.
I don't know. Yeah. I would be like, girl, honey, Victoria's Secret, like La Perla, Agent Provocateur, like get a little bit of lace, like something.
But there are, let me just say.
Swear. Like if guys, it's like if you're doing like below Calvin Klein, I'm like we can't. Like I just
Brad just like he walks out like, and you're just like nope, try again. Yeah, you know? Totally.
I'm
just
like, it's
turn around,
be.
Walk back into the bathroom.
I remember. Well, this might be TMI. I'm spilling too much. Anyway, I won't disclose.
Oh come on.
Yeah, disclose it. Yeah, you
like,
can't leave.
I was just gonna say that. When I first met Gary, he was wearing Helmut Lang underwear, and I was like, game on! Like, that's like...
Is it? I'm not familiar.
With Helmut Lang?
Yeah, sure.
Well, they've kind of gone downhill a little bit in the past, like, 20 years, but at the time...
Gary owns them all.
TMI.
I know, but well, we should say you're happily married, and you and Gary have been together for how long, 13 years?
No. 17 and a half.
17 and a half.
Good for you, man.
And married for almost
Lane.
A year.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That's awesome.
It's fun.
Yeah.
All right, next.
Next.
Would you date someone with opposing political or religious beliefs? That's Savannah.
Mm. Oh, this is... I am so fascinated by this question because... I was reading, someone posted about having different political beliefs, and a lot of the comments were really interesting because it was very split. Like, I couldn't date someone with opposite, or, yeah, I don't think it matters if you're able to keep it, like, you know, respect each other's beliefs and whatever. But I'm curious what y'all think as men. And I y'all are both, I'm assuming your partners are both in line with what you believe politically.
Well, I'm actually still, I'm Canadian, so I technically can't vote.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, Canada in the house!
I have my green card, but I haven't been able to vote. But for the religious, I mean, I've been down that with my wife. My wife was raised Mormon. Mm-hmm. Her dad is very much involved in the Mormon church. And I figured that was going to be an issue for him in us being together. And so the night when I had a conversation with him about asking for his... not permission, but just giving him the respect, say, I'd like to ask your daughter to marry me. We talked about that because I knew that I wasn't probably going to convert to being full-time Mormon. My wife isn't a practicing Mormon. Uh-huh. But for him, that was probably a hurdle. So I said, and even my wife and I at the time, we didn't know what our faith was going to be, but we knew we wanted to have some sort of faith in our life. We believed in wrong versus right, and that was more important. We believed in being a good person than some sort of denomination. So we were able to work through that. Now we found an amazing church. We go to Mosaic here mm-hmm. in LA, which is, we've found our home together. The political thing, she has her views, and it's okay to disagree. I think it's absolutely okay to disagree. Mm-hmm. It promotes conversation and growth. So I believe in a relationship if you have to respect each other's opinions, but I think absolutely you can have differing opinions.
I agree with that as well. I think, you know, you're not going to match up on every single thing. And it doesn't mean that, you know, if you disagree, if you're, you know, one's a Democrat, one's a Republican or whatever, it doesn't mean that that's going to stay like that forever. I don't know if that's really grounds to not date somebody unless you're like, you know, unless it kind of starts eating away at your core beliefs. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think you can't. I don't think I'd be able to get past. Mm-hmm. I think it would be tricky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, I agree with both Brooks and Brad, I mean, it's for me, like, it's definitely changed. I think as you get older, you know, obviously you start forming your own opinions different than maybe how you were raised. You know, I come from a very traditional Catholic family from the Midwest. You know, my viewpoints have expanded and progressed. Ultimately, from a dating aspect, you know, I just want to meet someone who I can communicate with. Mm-hmm. And for me, if I'm dating or in a serious relationship, I want someone who has different points of view from time to time to kind of help expand my horizon. I think ultimately you just have to be able to communicate, right? I think the answer is it just depends on the person. If some person is, you know, if they grew up, say, Catholic or Mormon, and those values it's important to them to hold true and they're not willing to bend, then you need to find someone who's mm-hmm. in line with you. Same politically. I mean, it just depends on how open you are to expanding your points of view and learning from others. And I think it comes down to communication, not necessarily, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. Yeah. It just really depends on, because if you're not willing to have conversations, then you need to find someone who agrees with you. I think that would be boring, but yeah. That's what you should do. Mm-hmm. From a dating aspect, I think you just kind of have to, and that's like a fourth or fifth date kind of thing, you know? Yeah. I mean, there are, but that's different. Yeah. There's some people
get into that really.
Like right away. I mean, I know a guy, he's hardcore. It's just like, it's his second question.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, hey,
oh,
what's wow. your name? Did you vote for, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, okay, well, I mean, and that's him,
right?
You know,
yeah.
So
but that's his core belief, right? Yeah.
Right. I was gonna say it kind of comes down to like personal conviction. Like, what do you feel comfortable saying? We disagree here, but I respect you. Versus, when we have kids, are we gonna be able to? How are we gonna raise them? Like, there's so many aspects to it where you start thinking about, like, especially religious. Like, how are we gonna raise the kids? Or are they gonna be like following what you grew up with, what I grew up with? Can we agree on a meeting place? Because we have a lot of people who are married to either someone who they go to church and their partner doesn't, and it kind of comes down to, do they respect you for what you believe? And I think, like Nick said, it comes down to like being able to respect each other, but also being able to have a conversation where it's not like volatile, but you're just like, hey, this is what I believe. Because there's, especially with politics, it's so not black and white. There's so many gray areas where you can believe in something on this side and disagree with something else on the same side. So,
I mean, it's interesting. I'm not married, but I when I talk to people or I get questions, I'm almost surprised just how many people seem to get into serious relationships with not at least having that conversation about points of view and your willingness to bend sometimes.
Yeah.
And then they get in this relationship and it's like, oh, wait, I thought you, And then it becomes an issue and maybe even with opposing families. So
it's funny because people always tell me that I ask like, or that I bring up religion too soon. And like when I'm dating somebody, I usually bring it up on like a first or second date, but it always comes natural because it's usually a weekend. They're like, what are you doing tomorrow? Tomorrow's Sunday. I'm like, going to the farmer's market, going to church. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I'll be in bed by 6.
It's a great Sunday.
In bed by 6, baby. Yeah. I got all that done.
So I'm like, it just comes up in conversation. It's not like I'm like asking him what he believes, but it just like naturally comes up, you know?
I also don't think that would be wrong. I don't, for someone to say you do it too much, it clearly is a priority in your life, and it's important to you. I would assume that it's important to you. You find someone who's willing to share that with you and not say turned off or intimidated by it, et cetera, et cetera.
Totally.
So, I mean, again, it really just comes down to the person. I think sometimes you just can't try to fit a square peg into a round hole, so to speak. You know, you have to be honest with yourself about your partner's willingness to share your beliefs and or disagree.
Yeah.
But you also live your life by spiritual principles. Like, you go to church and you apply what you read and what you learn in church to your everyday life.
Yeah.
So that's a naturally important question and thing to bring up on a date because it's the makeup of who you are.
Right.
So, you know, I think it's, you know, you live your life by those, by being kind to people and being open and, you know, you live your life by spiritual principles.
Right.
So that's super important for somebody you're dating to know. If it's like someone who's like a horrible person, you're going to like want to run for the hills,
like,
right?
Oh,
he's like,
oh,
church.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like, this has been cool.
Thank you, next.
It's also part of, it's also just sort of the fabric of your relationship. I mean, what's the culture of your relationship? If you set, my wife and I did this at the start, like I'm a Canadian, she's American. I'm a sports guy through and through, know nothing about pop culture. She is a dancer, singer, actress, knows nothing about sports. So we set very early on in our relationship, hey, let's celebrate diversity. So let's not, I don't want to try and make you me. I don't want to marry me.
Right.
I love that you know nothing about hockey And I didn't know a single thing about Hollywood or anything pop culture. And she embraced that. So we set that very early on in our relationship to celebrate diversity. And so then when a disagreement does arise, it's not like, hey, you're not seeing it the way, you're not understanding me, you're not seeing it my way. It's like, well, and sometimes we need to remind ourselves that, because sometimes you can get heated in your opinion or want your partner to see it your way. But you always have to remember, if you set that as a fabric of your relationship, you have to remember that when it's maybe a more intense discussion, like political views or religious.
Yeah.
I mean, celebrate diversity.
I know. I can't.
Hey, I learned this stuff from my wife. Hey, don't give me credit.
I really want to talk about Amazon Fire.
All right, let's do it.
Amazon Fire TV brings all the live and streaming content you love to the biggest screen in your house, which happens to be my TV, which is a very large screen. You can watch everything you love with access to Netflix, Prime Video, Hulu, so much more. You can even watch YouTube videos and access websites like Reddit and Facebook on Fire TV. I watch a lot of YouTube videos. I think I watch YouTube videos more than I watch anything else.
I can attest to that. You do watch a lot of YouTube videos.
It's kind of weird because, like, when I think about it, if someone were to be like, do you watch YouTube? I would be like, no, I'm not really into it. But when I think about what I spend most of my time doing, it's watching YouTube
videos. Well, what are you watching? What are your favorites?
I love just watching music videos. Like, I kind of miss the art of, like, making a video.
Yeah.
Oh, wait till Ariana Grande drops Thank You Next.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
Friday, supposedly.
Supposedly.
I'm so excited about that. But there's makeup tutorials. I think because it's something that I've had a hard time really getting into myself, like how much work it takes to make these videos. Seeing people who do it so naturally, like the tutorials, the vlogs, like it's fascinating to me because it seems so easy. And like simple, but it really is a lot of work and you have to put a lot into it. So I think I'm fascinated by that. And I'll just sit on my couch and it'll be on a loop and go like to what's recommended next.
Yeah, I like the recommendations.
So there's something cool when it's on the big screen with Fire TV because it's the ultimate mix of entertainment and relaxation, which is what I love. You watch Younger with Hilary Duff and
I am
our
obsessed
girl.
With Younger. That's like the best show ever.
Well, you can watch it on Amazon Fire if you want to recap yourself on there.
Well, there you go. Oh, you can also check out my YouTube channel, T-Rad and B-Rad. All you do is you say, Alexa, open YouTube. And it's so much better than like sneaking a peek on your laptop while you're at work and like squinting on your phone. And if that wasn't enough, you can even listen to this podcast and music with the iHeartRadio app on your Fire TV.
I mean, that is the number one sale right there.
That's right. So head to amazon.com/scrubbingin. Again, that's amazon.com/scrubbingin to order a Fire TV of your very own. And they make great gifts for your friends and family this holiday season.
Yeah, that's an amazing gift.
That's amazon.com/scrubbingin.
As I'm, staring at these beautiful faces in front of me, y'all all have very great skin.
Yeah, they do.
It's real. And Tanya, your skin looks great.
Just glowing,
Always glowing.
People's Choice Award glow. Yeah. That's what they call it. Or they call it BioClarity.
Yeah.
So with winter, my skin's gotten a little bit dry from the wind and the dry weather. That's why I use BioClarity and I use their essentials routine for normal or dry skin. And it's only 3 easy steps: cleanse, restore, and hydrate.
We've talked about this before, but BioClarity contains hydrating plant extracts like chamomile, green tea, cucumber, licorice root, argan, and shea, plus Floralux from chlorophyll. It also helps minimize redness, reduce pore size, and even out skin tone.
The best part is that BioClarity is delivered straight to you, and it is an easy to use 3-step skincare routine that's 100% vegan plus gluten and cruelty free.
You know I love anything that comes straight to my door.
Yes, and you know that I love things that are cruelty free.
Well, yeah, same. Yeah. Me too. So get started on healthier habits with your skincare. Go to bioclarity.com. Our listeners will get their first month for 50% off a routine, plus shipping is free. It comes with 100% risk-free money-back guarantee, but you have to enter our code, Becca. That's bioclarity.com, and enter our code, Becca.
You know 100% risk-free money-back guarantee means?
That means if you don't like it?
Yeah, but it means you're going to like it. They know that you're going to like
it. Yeah, they're confident.
Yeah.
Here's our next question for our panel, or
confident,
if you will.
Confident.
BioClarity is confident.
Yeah.
Jenny wants to know, why do guys ghost instead of just saying they aren't feeling it or whatever the reason is?
This is the best question of them all. This happened to me.
Really?
Just recently, and the guy came back a year and a half later.
Oh. Woof.
I let him in.
You know, I actually encourage her to let him in.
Yeah, but I'm interested to hear what a guy's opinion is on this.
I mean, I'm married, so I'm not ghosting, so I'll let these guys go.
Have you? Okay, Brooks, there was a time when you weren't married.
Right, that's true.
And you were an NHL player.
You don't strike me as a player, though.
I'm not.
Yeah, you really don't strike me as like a...
I meant a literal hockey player, an athlete. Obviously he has had girls coming after him. I'm sure there's been some that you haven't been interested in.
Yeah, but you can treat them with respect. They're human too, right? So, I probably have done it sometime in my life. I don't know. That's Jenny. That's a tough question. I mean, some guys, I definitely know people that do it on the regular. Some guys, maybe it's an insecurity thing with them. Maybe they don't want to have a hard conversation, or they don't want to let somebody down, but they'd rather, I don't know, it's because you'd rather hurt somebody than let somebody down. I think it's just the moral fabric of the human being. And if somebody does that to you, I think that's a pretty telling sign. So maybe not be interested and don't let them back in. but I don't know. I can't speak for every guy that does it. I don't think it's a smart move.
Yeah, I'm with you. I always think just be honest. But I guess when you're dating a lot of people, it just like happens. Single Nick?
My take on this is I don't think it's just a guy thing. I think it's a society thing. I think how things are, unfortunately, today. I think both men and women do it. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, how we communicate. Things like social media and texting. You know, it's like people joke about if you were dating someone, it's like, well, should I call her? And you're like, whoa, wait, don't, I mean, cheat, really?
Yeah.
Are you gonna, what are you gonna do, leave her a voicemail? She doesn't, you know? And I think, you know, as a result, people like have become worse at communicating. You know, the idea, I think people like use the excuses of, well, I don't know what to say and I don't want to hurt their feelings. So they just kind of ignore it. Obviously, I think that's just more of kind of a selfish, they feel bad. So they don't do anything. I think also too is, you know, expectations versus reality, you know, in terms of, you know, if you're texting a little bit and, you know, sometimes it is tough, like with dating apps, right? Mm-hmm. You know, let's say you're on a dating app and you've been messaging three or four people, matter, you know, if you're a guy or a girl.
I mean,
and there's a few communications and then they just like stop texting. It's just like, well, I think some people are just like, well, what do I like break up with someone that I've only like had a, you know, point. Communicated with, and, you know, so it varies. Now, if you've gone on a date with someone, you know, usually not ghosting is probably inappropriate, but I think as a society, we've become poor at communication and we've kind of hid behind our phones, and we have, you know, kind of a, you know, abundance of choices with dating apps, and things like that. And I think as a result, we just kind of become more self-absorbed, unfortunately.
It is true though. You bring up a good point, because I have ghosted a lot of people, like from dating apps and stuff, where it's like we were talking consistently and then all of a sudden I was just kind of like,
but that's not really ghosting. I don't think it's ghosting unless you've been out with them.
I've done that too. But what I'm saying is I think it's like guys get this, like there is this expectation of like a guy shouldn't ghost, but like we do it too. Like I've done it where it's like, I think it's pretty equal,
both men and women. I think it's just how we, that's just what people do now.
But I will say, as I've gotten older, it's like I know how it feels, and I know that it would be a tough conversation to be like, hey, I'm just not thinking we're on the same page. Obviously, that's sometimes harder for us to do rather than just like not answering. But it's weird because like as I've gotten older, I think, okay, well, how am I making this other person feel? Like,
right.
Wouldn't it just be so much nicer for someone to say, hey, you're great, but I don't think you're for me, and that has nothing to do, like, there's nothing you did wrong. It just is what it is.
People can take bad news if it's honest.
Yeah.
Like, people can.
Yeah.
You can receive what you deem to be bad news, as long as it's honest and straightforward to your face. It hurts more when it's a lie or like a ghosting or something like that. But if it's, they'll get over it in a day. They'll be on their phones. They'll be swiping right or doing something.
Totally.
It's also, there's so many options out there. Like people get bored really easily now, where years ago it'd be tough to find a date or something. You can find a date on your phone if you want to.
Totally.
You know, by noon. Hour. It's 11:52. You'd have a date lined up in 8 minutes if you wanted
it. Let's go, Tanya. Yeah. Let's see if we can do it.
Question for the guy who you took back. Like, what was the extent of that relationship when he ghosted?
So, we'd gone out two times.
Okay.
And then he just disappeared. And I am on the other side of it, where if I don't see something, if I'm dating somebody and I don't see it going anywhere, I'm very vocal. And I always, I'm straight up, because I hate the reverse. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I kind of wrote him off. Like, I kind of like just deleted his notes page in my phone and was like, thank you, next.
Wait.
What's a notes page?
Oh, really? I keep notes pages.
Have you heard of that one?
Wait, I missed it.
Notes page on him?
I keep notes pages on every guy that I date.
Damn.
Tanya, what?
Tanya.
You guys.
I did not know this.
That's so creepy.
No, it's not. So, like, when you're at Christmas time.
Oh, my God.
I'd
be immediately intimidated. Be like, oh, God, I hope those notes.
This is information nobody should know.
She deleted his note page.
It's like a burn book.
Can you imagine, like, before you go on a date, you're like, guys, she takes notes. I really.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to be on it. What's my opener?
Come Christmas. Come Christmas, and you're like, what do I get this guy that I'm dating for Christmas? And oh, let me pull up my notes page. He mentioned on our first date that
that's
he likes
great for like someone you're dating.
By the way, that's what my 97-year-old grandmother does to remember who called her, Tanya. Like, no, you have to stop that. Can you imagine if you went to a movie theater, okay, and you were watching a movie and the lead character was like looking for a boyfriend, and after every date they like saw her logging in information?
That's what I do.
No, you have to stop that.
You're like a sports coach. You're like a scout.
Yeah.
You see something, you make notes on this player. You're a little short. You know,
I want to remember like they're a little Capricorn short. And that they have a sister that lives in Florida, and they had their
Tanya. No.
Tanya, this is so.
Oh my God.
She literally. I
that's
deleted.
So weird.
I wrote him off. I deleted his note page. Like, it's casual.
So note page. That's like the ultimate like FU step, right?
You guys, I have a lot going on in my life. I need to like.
Tanya.
Tanya,
you are not Ariana Grande. She has a lot going on, and she still manages just to find time to hang out. Like, you don't need to write these psycho notes.
Can you do you
it's
have
like
any
It's like you're journaling
example?
About Wait. Other like look. Somebody needs to be telling Tanya straight up what's weird, right?
When you took him back.
Later.
When you said you like responded, or did you end up going out with him again?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So he reached back out, and he basically in the text kind of apologized and said
did
like.
You say who dis? Like, did you have his number?
Yeah. No. I keep the phone number.
Sorry, I lost all my numbers. You know how many times I've sent that.
No, I still had his number saved, but he basically kind of explained like that. Like he did a lot of growing, and he loved the chance to like redeem himself, and I said,
fell for it.
Sounds good.
I don't have anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was all, I thought it was,
people
I respect
win the lottery.
Here's the thing. I thought if I don't go out with him, I'll always be thinking, what if I had? And if I do and it's bad, then I know. And if it's fine, then you know what I mean?
Like, and you also checked your notes and you realized that the first date was like super cute and not go
she
out
recovered.
Again.
Yeah,
and
you recovered.
Like,
was like,
you're like,
she
yeah, his sister
good.
In Florida seemed recovery. Really nice. I'd like to meet her. So let's go out.
Family seemed solid. Open to church, slightly.
I mean, you can be one step away from having somebody come and video your date. Like, imagine if you just like, replay the video.
Yeah. I would love a GoPro behind my eyes just so I could like really get someone's like body language on a date.
It's interesting too, because like I'll have like friends and like the whole dating app thing too. It's just like I think sometimes we forget that again with dating or going out there, especially when you're just dating, right? You forget that you have no idea really what's going on in their lives. You know, like, did they get on a dating app because they just got out of a relationship or, and they're just like kind of aggressively forcing it to get back out there. And then they realize they're just not ready. So they ghost or things like that. Mm-hmm. So I think there's variables at play too. I actually saw this documentary recently and it was about boredom and how the brain literally prefers pain to boredom. Which is really fascinating.
That is fascinating.
Wow. There is a study. This guy, they basically electric shot this guy. Nothing too dangerous, but certainly painful. And they're like, "Would you ever do that again?" He's like, "No." They put him in a room with no phone, nothing, no TV, no stimulation except the button. And it took him less than 2 minutes to press it.
Again,
because he simply was just bored, and the brain thrives stimulation. And so sometimes with dating, I think we get bored, we'll reach out again. It's like, you know,
I mean, what's going on right now? Sure, why not?
I like sometimes we just have to remember that too, you know. Yeah. And so,
but I do have to tell you guys though, I really highly recommend keeping notes, because I will tell you, on one Valentine's Day, I made an I love you basket, and it was all the things that he'd said he'd loved from like the beginning of when we dated. And he was like, "How did you even?" It was like this soup that he liked. It was like from some random
soup.
Yeah, it was like a canned soup that he loved from his like
who
home
wants soup on Valentine's Day? Just like put on some cute underwear and like give it up. Like, hello.
It meant a lot to him to have this I love you basket, and he was like totally blown away that I remembered all these little things.
But
so,
I get like
you.
After you're like
next.
Been on a few dates to where you're like almost in a relationship, you start that, but like after date one, you have
you
a note
know.
Page.
You never know if one could lead to the rest of your life.
Okay. But like also sometimes that stuff just like stays in your head.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you know, like
especially
here's
soup.
The thing. Like I know when I'm on a flight with Gary, like I bring like a secret reserve of like things I know he likes, so that when we're halfway through the flight and I can see that he's kind of like want
fidgety.
Like yesterday I handed him a little, you know, masked chocolate, that yummy chocolate in the pretty mm-hmm. paper. I handed him like I could tell, and I just like brought out like a dark chocolate masked chocolate bar, and he was so excited.
Cute.
But like those are also like you can just like file shit away in your brain.
Yeah, but you've right? also been like, with Gary for 17 years.
Yeah, well clearly I have no notes on him. At all. They're all just in my head.
I just want to know after a
like
date,
I
you
feel like
if just download that and like, just,
yeah.
or
but
you
if
it
you
in, like a bathroom break and
yeah just, right like she's like hold on I have to go to the bathroom you know and literally she's just like I'm gonna forget this
don't you think
hold on I need to
don't you think though if you just relied on like your own like self and your like your desire to be with the person that you would still come up with something just as lovely on Valentine's Day?
No, because I was so pissed that I went out with this guy and I couldn't remember where he was from. I was like,
I couldn't remember. Just
Tanya,
ask
you're
him
not
again.
Convince us on this notes page. Mark's got a new question.
I'm obsessed with the notes page.
Me too. And it was so casual.
So casual.
I wrote him off. I deleted his note page.
I told him
like,
on Saturday I deleted his notes page.
Oh, shoot.
You told him?
He was probably like, what the f-?
He stored that in his brain.
Yeah. He's like,
he's like, guys.
All right. Next one is from Kaylee Ann. If a guy is interested, should we wait for them to pursue us, or should we make the first move and find out?
I know this is an age-old question, but we still never have like a solid answer. You know, it always goes back and forth. We go back and forth a lot about this. So
Tanya goes back and forth about this a lot because I get so many. She asks me so many times if she should text the guy, if she should write this thing, if she should wait, or why hasn't he? I'm like, just text him, like. Yeah. Like, you're a modern woman, and yet you're, like, prescribing to rules that, A, don't exist, but, like, existed in, like, the 1800s. It's like, are you going to show him your wrist at dinner? It's like, what is going on? Like, if you want something, just go after it. And then, you know, people sit around and wait for other people to make the first move, and it's just like, just send the text. If I had waited, I would still be single. Like, I seize the moment. Like, I was like, this is it. This is like the time and the place. Like, I don't know if this is going to be anything, but for right now, like, this is what I'm going to turn it all on. Like, and I did. I like, you know, I turned on my 23-year-old Canadian charms, and they're still working.
He had his helmet legs
later.
On. And
yeah. Actually, I was dressed horribly.
I've seen some of your throwbacks.
Yeah. But no, just like make the first move. Like, there's the script that we can write in our head of how a situation can pan out is worse than actually taking the action of just being like, hey, I was wondering if you want to go out sometime. I would like to take notes on you. You look like a fun person to take notes on.
This is maybe an unpopular thought, but I truly think that the reason why this is like people go back and forth about it is I think girls are like, it's innate to want to be pursued and desired and like right. sought mm-hmm. after. And I think there is something in guys where it's like, I want to get what I want. Like I want what hunter. I want and I want to pursue a mm-hmm. predator. Yeah, not a predator. A hunter. Sorry.
Do you guys think that? I don't know if that exists.
There's something about.
I like to be desired too.
I think there's a little bit of both. I mean, I agree. And I also agree with you that if I'm interested, I will go for it. Also, mm-hmm. I generally subscribe to the belief that if that person's into you, they're going to be into you, and very little will change that early on. So if a guy's into a girl and maybe he's too nervous and didn't realize it, her reaching out is not going to be like, well, I was interested, but now I'm not, right?
Yeah, okay.
I think it also depends on the personality. You know, Tanya, you have a big personality and a big presence and a lot of expectations, which are great. I think I'm guessing you would want to be with a guy who wouldn't be intimidated by something so trivial as you taking mm-hmm. the initiative.
True.
I think maybe other women might be different, where they might be willing to kind of be more reserved, right? So I think that depends. But I think there's some degree in terms of guys do like to pursue a little bit, mm-hmm. and girls maybe do like to be pursued, but not within the context of simply just letting someone know. It's like, hey, let's grab a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. I also think in today's age that, you know, again, back with communication, I think kind of men have become a little kind lazy. Of soft and lazy. I think dating in general, people have gotten lazy for sure. And everyone's just afraid to make the first move. You know, I always have friends on dating apps complaining. It's just like, I'll like text a guy for like 3 weeks, but he never like asks if I want to get together. It's like, there's a lot of that. And I don't know if it's because guys are just afraid or whatever, but it unfortunately, it's the reality. So someone's got to make the first move or we're just going to die as a society. You know.
Well, I also think there's something with like, you know, this movement of like the Me Too movement where guys are probably a little more standoffish of being like, if I'm doing something, is it going to be taken a certain way? Or, you know, like when it comes to like complimenting or doing anything, I feel like there's some reservation there. But I also think in the sense of being traditional and thinking like I want to be pursued, it's not like you have to pick up the phone and call to show that you're interested now. Like, it's not like a girl has to pick up a phone and call. It can just be.
Did you make the first move on your wife?
We were set up by a mutual friend.
Oh, that's right. I did know this.
We both said no. Like, he was trying to, well, I think she said yeah, and I said no, I don't know. But he was trying to set us up. She's like, he was doing this movie with her, and he's like, I got a girl for you. I'm like, bro, you're 3,000 miles across country and playing hockey. It's good. Thanks. And then she was like, yeah, he's cute. I don't know. She was looking for like an outdoorsy type guy. And so she kept being like, and then he persisted. He's like, you guys got to meet. So he just put us on a text group. He's like, I'm sick of this. You guys got to meet. Julianne, meet Brooks. Brooks, meet Julianne. And then the next day I was driving in my car and I just called her. I think guys should call.
Yeah.
I personally,
good move right there.
I prefer just me, just my opinion. I preferred pursuing like my wife. I prefer that way. I believe she liked that too. Not to say she wouldn't go and ask somebody. She's a very strong, confident woman. Either is fine. I think do what you, my advice to the lady that asked, to do what you want, do whatever feels good. But guys, pick up the phone and call. Like just, and I did it with no, I was driving home from practice. She crossed my mind. I'm like, calling Jules right now. And I picked up the phone and I called and I was just like, hey, what's up? And she's like, hey. And I was like, what are you doing? I had nothing to say. I didn't know what I was going to say. Then I would be natural. If I sat and wrote like some date notes or some sort of script.
I heard you're a Libra.
I would have flubbed it, but I had no game plan, nothing. I just called. And then we had a great conversation, very organic. We started talking more and more. We talked every day for the next 2 months. And then she eventually flew out to DC to meet me. So I don't think that I say go for it. If you want to call a guy, like call a guy too. FaceTime a guy. Like I FaceTime people all the time.
Yeah.
It's so much better than.
Thank you.
Right?
Brooks is like, you're my, what's the word? I would say saltmate. Is it saltmate?
Soulmate.
No, it's not soulmate.
What's a saltmate?
Oh, I can't. We have to do a commercial.
What do you mean? You have to.
Saltmate is like someone who, like, it's kind of like a soulmate, but like not soulmate.
Kindred spirit.
Kindred spirit. There you
go. What are we?
We're like related. Like we basically came out of the womb together. We're like twins. Okay.
You're like my pepper maid.
I do have a question for the women, and kind of related to this question. How do women feel, or how do you women feel about persistence? I had like mixed reviews when I hear from. It's like, again, speaking to like this day and age, it's like, you know, sometimes people are lazy. They forget to respond, or they're kind of wishy-washy. Or sometimes I hear from my women friends, it's just like, well, you know, I don't know what he wants or what his intentions are. And then guys are, I think, kind of get intimidated by like following up. It's like, well, I don't want her to think I'm weird or too aggressive. You know, it's funny, like back in the day, you always heard stories like old time movies. It's like, you know, he asked me 20 times and finally I said yes. And today, you know, it's not like, like the guy texts me twice and respond. He's like a psycho. You know, like, and so you, it's kind of like this balance of like, well, do I really pursue her? Is she playing hard to get? And I think guys get confused because they don't want to be considered like weird or too aggressive, or right, because, you know, at the same time, I've had women tell me, so it's like, I really appreciated you like asking me a few times. It seemed like you really wanted to get together because I wasn't sure, you know, I feel like a lot of guys just kind of want one thing, and you showed me that you were really interested. So it's, what do you women feel about like persistence and a guy, you know, pursuing you, especially if you don't respond right away, or maybe you forget to reply or things like that?
Yeah. I mean, for me personally, I think that I believe in that the phrase of like, the person that you're meant to be with, you can't do anything wrong. So I always, whatever feels natural to you, whatever you want to do, like I always say, just do that, because for the right person, it's not going to be weird. Because I think like a lot of times I'm like, am I too, like I do have a big personality, and I'm like, should I rein it back a little bit? Do I not need to send like a really lengthy text? But I'm like, the guy that I'm meant to be with is that's going to be good for him. So like, to me, I always think, my advice to you as a guy would be, just do what feels natural to you, what you want, because the person that's right for you, it'll be right. And the person that's not right, I mean, still working
on it. No, I definitely agree with that. But do you think your friends agree with you, or do you think that, like, what's the general thought on?
I used to be the type that, like, I would go back, like, I'd play games where it was like, even if I'm a little bit interested, I'm going to make him like work for it. And now,
and her games work though.
My games have not failed me.
Sure.
But now I'm kind of like at that point where it's like, if I am into someone and they're into me and there's this natural chemistry, like there's no games needed. Like if I want him to text me and I want to text back, then I'm going to do that. Like, it doesn't have to be this thing where I'm like, all right, he texted me twice, so now I wait 30 minutes and then I'm going to respond. It's like, if someone's interested, like, I think they're going to respond. Because if you want someone and you want to hang out with them, you're not going to let their text or phone call just sit there. Too many options out there to let someone that you like get away.
Also, like, if you do it with, you know, kind of not low expectations, but
no, I mean,
just because you go out with somebody or you're texting with somebody doesn't mean you're getting married.
Yeah.
Like, it could mean that you guys spend 6 months together that are really fun. It could be 2 years. It could, you know, I had no idea what was going to happen. Like, zero idea. I was living in Canada at the time when I met Gary, and I came to LA, and we still joke about the phone call to my mom, because I was like, hey, mom, I'm in LA. And she's like, what are you doing in LA? And I'm like, well, I've met someone. And like, I put my mom through a lot of stuff, and that was like one of the ones where the phone basically, like, she was like, what are you doing? Like, where are you? Who is this person? How did you end up in LA? And Gary got on the phone and talked to her, and it was like, cool. But like, if I had put all of these, like, oh my God, it's going to be this, and
right,
and we're going to end up getting married and we're going to live together, it would have been like a disaster.
The way that I live my life, and my dating life especially, is be open to the possibility, not attached to the outcome.
Yes. Okay. The Church of Tanya.
Super single one over here. Okay. You know what we need to talk about?
What?
Legacy Box.
Yeah, we need to talk about Legacy Box.
Yeah, get it in there, girl. Okay, so this year we decided to do Secret Santa with my family, the Rad Fam. And I ended up getting my dad, hopefully he's not listening, Legacy Box. There's literally nothing harder than getting your dad a Christmas gift, and they always have everything. But with Legacy Box, I'm able to give him a unique and sentimental gift this year. So, Dad, again, sorry.
Yeah. Don't let your mom let him listen. With Legacy Box, you can have all of your old photos, videos, and tapes digitized. So all you have to do is send your legacy box filled with old home movies and photos, and then they'll do the rest for you. Legacy Box will professionally digitize your moments onto your choice of a thumb drive, digital download, or DVD. This is actually so amazing because, I mean, a lot of people, there are people in this world who don't even know what a VHS is.
Totally.
They don't even know what a CD is.
And we just spent like a good chunk of our Thanksgiving weekend looking at like our family, like photos and like things like that. My dad has all these things and he, bless his heart, just doesn't know how to like convert.
Well,
like,
I don't either. It's not just your dad. That's why we have Legacy Box.
That's true.
You can get personalized updates at every step of the way so you know everything is safe and ready to be delivered on time for your gifts. Legacy Box is the world's largest, most trusted digitizer of home movies and photos. All of their work is done by hand, and it's right here in the United States.
Yes, so visit LegacyBox.com today to get started. Plus, for a limited time, they're offering our listeners an exclusive discount. Go to LegacyBox.com/Becca to get 40% off your first order. So to save 40% today, go to LegacyBox.com/Becca. Nice.
All right, and moving right along to another one of our favorite sponsors.
Well, since we're talking about Secret Santa, I actually think I'm going to get some of these for our stocking stuffers, because how cute would these be in our stockings?
So cute. Rothy's is one of the big hits on our Facebook group, I've noticed.
Yeah, well, because it's, I think people are really into things that are fashion forward, but also sustainable. Brad knows we like fashion forward.
Oh, yes.
And we love sustainable.
Up to the minute fashions.
Yeah, we know Meghan Markle has been seen wearing her Rothy's flats during her recent Australian tour with Prince Harry, and they've been flying off the shelves ever since she's been wearing them.
Yeah, it's true.
She's a trendsetter.
Yeah, and I actually ordered a pair for our Honor with Ryan Seacrest Christmas party.
Which ones? I like the loafers.
I like the, I got the camo ones.
Yeah, I want to see. I haven't seen the sneaker yet, but they just introduced the sneaker, and they have the flat, the point, the loafer, all for women and girls.
And this is my favorite part. Do you know what's so crazy is that they're made from recycled plastic water bottles. Rothy's has almost recycled 20 million bottles. That's awesome, right?
Yeah, and they're also machine washable. So after you're wearing them all day or dancing, you can throw them in the wash and they're perfectly clean. So right now, Rothy's has an amazing deal for our listeners. Use code BECCA to get free shipping with no minimum. That's free shipping and free returns and exchanges on your Rothy's shoe. And trust me, you will not return them once you get them. Go to Rothy's.com. That's Rothy's.com and enter code BECCA to get your new favorite flats and free shipping. Go get yourself a pair today. That's Rothy's.com. Promo code BECCA. And get this deal while it lasts.
So we love having you guys here. And you guys all have different projects going on in your lives. So we would like to start with Brooks. We actually talk a lot about accountability here. It's actually pretty often we talk about just kind of a lot of people in our Facebook group especially always ask me like how, because I give myself 1 hour every day for Tanya time, whether it's like working out, walking A to Z. Good I could you. Do like a really hard workout or just walk for an hour, but yep. I give myself 1 hour every day. And you have an app that you started that I want you to tell all of our listeners about that. It can kind of, it gives you accessibility because you can do it on your phone.
Yeah. We, I partnered with a gentleman named Matt Hewitt, exceptional athlete. He won the affiliate series of CrossFit Games 3 times. Good friend of mine. We did some, charity, fitness competitions together and, just vibed. And then, coming out of sport as an athlete, you hoard everything for yourself. Mm-hmm. You hoard everything that you're doing because you want to rise and elevate. A, you want to beat every other team, but also you're in competition with your own teammates for jobs, like, and other people are trying to take your job. So as an athlete, you're very selfish. And transitioning out of sport now, my life is now transitioning more into service, and I want to open source everything that I have. So Matt and I want to make high-level, world-class fitness available to the masses, not just the people with fat pockets. So we started an app. It's called Open Gym. The app actually should be pushed live next week. And what it is, it's 20 minutes a day. It's body weight only. And our main mission, our first mission, is to make high-level fitness available, enjoyable, and affordable to the masses So in 20 minutes a day, Matt and I program these workouts for ourselves. They're things that I do. My wife and I travel all the time. In 6 days, we're going to Indonesia here. So I'll be on a boat in Indonesia for 6 days. And there's no gym in sight, but I still need to get my fitness in. So I do all these body weight workouts anyway. And now I'm just open sourcing and sharing with people. So it's as low as $7.99 a month. You get a brand new workout every day programmed by a 15-year professional hockey player and a 6-year professional CrossFit athlete. And it's gender neutral. It is available for all fitness levels, and there's no requirement. You don't have to. You can be a beginner. You can be an advanced athlete. The workouts are scalable to your fitness level. So it doesn't matter if you're boy, girl, young, old. My mom does it. There's grandmas that do it. There's a lot of nurses. There's truck drivers that pull over and hit it in a truck stop.
Yeah.
We had the best message we had. There was a lady in Jordan sent us a message. I shared this on our Instagram page. Where she lives, it's too dangerous for females to go outside. So she got the other ladies in her building together, and they do open gym together because they still want to get their fitness in when they can't go outside. So some of the impacts it's making, it's still in its infancy, but some of the impacts are incredible. Bodyweight only fitness, it's called Open Gym, and we hope to bring it to as many people as we can.
I actually was watching the Bucket List Family YouTube video, and you were all doing it together, and I don't even know where you
Tonga.
Were. It was, like, gorgeous.
Yeah, Tonga.
You're just like, let's just step out and do it. So it was really cool to see, and that's how I actually looked it up after I watched that video, and I was like, it's amazing, because it's hard to make an excuse when it only takes 20 minutes.
And no equipment necessary.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. So it's 20 minutes, no equipment necessary. We lay it out for you, and it's your body weight. So you can be as intense or... Yeah.
I might be the only, like, clown in the building, but what does body weight only mean?
It means no equipment. So it's push-ups, it's air squats, it's burpees. It's body weight only movement. So you don't need any dumbbells. You don't need a bench. You don't need a chair, a step, like anything like that. So there...
You don't need like an at-home gym.
No,
like,
all you need literally is 5 feet of space. So think of in a hotel room. So somebody that travels, we have a lot of people that go to conventions all the time. They do it in their hotel room. A friend of mine did it in the airport the other day. I mean, if you have a lot of moms do it, a lot of moms will do it while their baby takes a quick nap. They'll hit it right there with their baby in the living room at home. People will do it at the beach. The other day we had two ladies hike a mountain in Vietnam and hit it on the top of a mountain in Vietnam. We had a lady do it on her... villa overlooking the sea, the ocean in the Maldives. Like, we're seeing really cool places where people are taking it, and that's part of the fun. I like to travel, but I also want to get my fitness in, and I'm not going to pack. My wife's not going to let me pack hundreds of pounds. I have to use just my own body, but you can get an immense and incredible workout in a very short amount of time.
That's the thing that's great. I stay a lot active, and I do a lot of body weight stuff. So it works if you are dedicated to that. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yep.
So, cool.
Yeah, it's cool. And then also we've leveraged our own personal relationships to offer 6 different companies at a discounted price. So we have 4 organic nutrition companies. So not only do we want to impact your fitness, we want to make all of health and wellness cheaper for you.
Totally.
Because it's very expensive to live healthy, especially here in LA, right? We leveraged our personal platforms to get discount codes and everything up to 40% off from some of these companies. So if you're a member of Open Gym, those discounts are exclusively available to you.
So awesome.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. I like how you also said too, like, I was an athlete, and I was like hoarding all this information. Yeah. Now you're like, you want to serve, and that's...
Mm-hmm. Otherwise it dies with me, and same with Matt.
Yeah.
Matt just retired. Otherwise it dies with us, and we're so passionate about what it's done in our lives. And I have friends come this morning. I had 4 friends come over to the house. I took over our whole garage and turned it into my home gym mecca. My wife can still park in there, but it's my space. But friends come over to the house. We worked out from 7:30 till about 10:15 this morning, and then I'll probably have a couple more come over this afternoon.
7 a.m. to 10:15.
Yeah, we get after it at the house. I love it.
Wow, it's a long,
so fun,
it's a long time.
Nick, you gotta come.
A 3-hour and 15-minute workout.
Yes, we just bounce back and forth all day.
Brad, you work out all the time.
I know, Brad. Like, you posted your ab photo the other day.
I went to the gym.
I might have yoga after this.
Posted a shirtless photo showing off that bod. Like, we know you work out,
just
Brad.
Just Equinox. It's no big deal.
I get those likes.
That's right. All those. The ladies like it. They do. The ladies love it. Why not?
Why not?
What are you working on, Tanya?
How about you flipped it?
Brad, we're talking about you. We talk about ourselves all the time.
Well, I'm just trying to come up with our next dance video. Okay. So
very
that's
important.
Happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wife, we have man. A good. Oh. Next level.
Her brother, Derek, lives with us too.
You know what's funny though? Is Mark Ballas did reach out and he was like, I'd love to choreograph your next dance, but Brad and I are like, our dances are so bad that that's what makes it good almost. So
they're
like,
bad.
Yeah. We yeah. don't want to.
It would lose its authenticity.
Yeah.
If we come out and we're like,
I told Tanya, Frankie Grande really liked our thank you next video.
So wow. Like, no, I mean, you're really getting
that's
up
high,
to Ariana.
Right?
You're getting
that's
up there.
So high. That's what we're working on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our dance video.
New
yeah.
YouTube videos?
Yeah. The B-Rad and
T-Rad
show.
yeah. Always. I'm always down.
Yeah.
Right? The guest house has turned into our studio.
Yeah. It's really
it's good.
It's really funny because, like, we're very, like, extroverted. But yet we can be such homebodies at the same time. Like
yeah.
we just like don't want to leave Brad's house. Like we'll just sit there and like not. And then someone's like, you guys should videotape it. So we were like, okay.
Yeah. So it's literally just us sitting. Gary said maybe we might want to change locations for the dance videos. And I was like, are you nuts? Like change locations?
Yes,
no. You can't just change what the people know.
Yeah, yeah. No way. Yeah. They need to see... You know, the last they comment, like, one of the good comments on the last one was when the table moves, when the coffee table moves, you know they're ready to get down to business. Like, how are people going to know?
I just like how y'all always incorporate some, one of y'all like falling into the other's
arms. The trust
fall.
That's like literally like that's how
dances.
We test our friendship. Like how good the trust fall is, right?
I
did
like
you guys
this.
Used to do that in like drama class or anything? Trust
yeah,
falls?
Of course.
Anyone?
Yeah.
Hello?
I certainly have done it at some point.
Yeah.
Times. Second dates. It's like, all right, let's do this.
Let's do the trust fall.
Second date.
First date politics.
Yeah.
Second date trust fall. Yes. Awesome.
Okay, Nick, tell us what's going on with you.
Cool. I recently actually launched an essential oil line with some partners. Really excited about it. Called Natural Habits. Mm. Yeah, it's like something I've been working on for about a year and a half with my partners. I personally use essential oils for like 5 years. My sister's a holistic nutritionist. She turned me on to them. And for me, it kind of got started because as a user, it was surprisingly hard to kind of find out where these oils came from to verify their authenticity. A lot of essential oils you either directly put on your skin or put like in a diffuser. I don't know if you guys know this, your skin is actually your largest organ on your body. Mm-hmm. And so when you're absorbing that, it was almost kind of surprising the lack of kind of information out there about the oil. So that's kind of how Natural Habits started. So we are USDA organic certified. We source from eight different farms across the world, from Israel to Brazil to Bulgaria to France to Australia to India, China. I think I mentioned them all. So yeah, we're GCMS tested. So our kind of quality of oils is very important to us. We put a lot of research into it. Like I said, it's taken about a year to kind of cultivate those farms and select them. And I'm pretty excited. So we have four oil blends, Rival Lines. It's kind of our introductory product. We're working on some more. So it's the idea of that there should be habit forming. So one's kind of for mental clarity called Rise when you wake up. One's for your immunity, like immunity boost called Protect.
Is that Protect?
Yeah.
Protect right now.
I started using essential oils for my anxiety and going to sleep.
I use one for sleep.
Yeah, so our release is more for that when you unwind. And so there are various blends of all different types of oils. I'll spare you the details of all the different oils that go into them. But they're very beneficial. I love them. I've been using them for a long time. I'm very excited about it. So nhoils.com, you can get our bundle. Our four oil blends and more to come as we, develop our additional lines. So pretty excited about
it. Yeah, this is awesome. Yeah, they smell amazing. Yeah. And we also
toss Protect over to Brad.
They make a great stocking stuffer.
I was going to say, well, we have a lot of people on our Facebook group of our listeners who I just recently saw and they're like, I really want to start using essential oils. Like, what do you recommend? So it's cool to...
That was kind of our idea as a user. Like when I started, you know, with essential oils, it's kind of like the idea, it's become more mainstream, but it almost seems like, you know, it's like a hippie thing or you have to be into like aromatherapy to really understand it with the various blends. And again, there's so many medicinal benefits with essential oils that you can, and there are various blends that have benefits. So we designed these blends over the course of the year, tested them out to kind of have, maximum impact. And we want to make it kind of more mainstream, easier for the average person who you know, hasn't like doesn't know a lot about essential oils. So we blend them together to have a maximum benefit. The roll-ons are easy to take with you. You can carry them anywhere, like on the plane, like with Protect or Anxiety with Release. When I was flying yesterday and before the flight took off, just rub them all over my body. So, you know, diffusers are nice, and we will be coming out with a diffuser line soon. But obviously, you can't take those with you anywhere. Mm-hmm. So we want to make it easier for the average user who doesn't know a ton about aromatherapy or who doesn't know what blends are best. So that's kind of our goal and our mission, and we're excited about it.
So cool.
You know what I like about all of you guys? You're passionate about what you're working on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Yeah.
And you have fun with it. Like, it matters to you. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it really is coming from your heart.
Brad's laughing. You. The choreography.
Brad's like, oh, dance moves.
The choreography's like, you know, comes in like 15 or 20 minutes. But, you know.
No, but the friendship, you're passionate about.
Oh, the friendship is the best.
Yeah.
The best.
Yeah. So we'll put all the details on the information, you know, for you guys and what you're working on. We'll put that up on our Facebook group.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Wait, yeah. Can we get in on the Facebook chat?
Oh, yeah. Please.
You talk about it all the time.
Is it great? Will you lose yourself in it? Like a Reddit page?
Yes.
Or something?
But they it's like, it's like the most positive,
oh,
uplifting
great.
Thing
it's the most
I've ever
positive
seen.
Facebook group. Like, I think, in America, like truly, like you and they won the People's Choice Award. Like,
yeah, Tanya and the Facebook group won the People's Choice
really
Award.
Campaign, but like, they're really
nothing wrong with that.
They're really like happy, positive, encouraging. They come in there and they're like ask each other questions and they help each other out and
crowdsourcing.
Like, yeah, but
it's
they're
awesome.
Like they really like they. Who did we have last week? Kristen Dalton. She wrote a book and they all were like so moved by the book and were responding about. You know what the book did to them, and like they're
cute.
Just really, it's a really great space of people.
Yeah, if you want to
awesome.
Feel good,
it's
of course you want to be a part of the Facebook group.
Yeah,
that's awesome because you know how many people in their lives currently don't have a positivity community around them.
Yeah,
and we're trying to do the same thing with Open Gym is that maybe a stay at home mom or a dad who's a stay at home dad or really busy or something, they still want their community of fitness.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have it. So maybe they go digitally to get that. So there's people that are probably on that maybe wherever they live, they don't have positive people around them. And so they go to digital, they go to the Facebook group, and now they have their community of people that empower and inspire them. So that's awesome, ladies.
That's what
great.
It's become. It's
It's awesome.
It's a powerful thing.
Yeah.
It is.
Maybe you can actually teach me how to skate in men's hockey skates.
Yeah.
Do you know how to skate?
I used to wear women's figure skates on skate day. So it might be nice at like 41 to learn how to stand up on the ice in actual men's skates.
We'll get you some full gear.
Figure skates.
Yeah. Right?
That could be all's next video is on the ice. Choreography on the trust fall.
It's so easy to moonwalk on the ice.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You got skates on that moonwalk? It's a piece of
what if you have Bambi legs?
We'll work on that.
I've always wanted I can ice skate a little bit. My bucket list is to hockey stop, which I've never.
Oh, yeah.
Really,
what's that?
If you need tricks on roller skating, I got you. I can do that, but I can't hockey stop.
I feel like we've created a little bromance.
Is that when the stuff, you just
kind of stop on a dime.
Yeah.
It's the coolest thing
And then
ever.
If you do too many hockey stops, then the Zamboni comes out. Isn't that what it's called?
If you get too much snow on the ice, yeah.
But Brad dropping hockey knowledge.
Never snow. No.
it's because he's Canadian.
That's the thing that like cleans the ice. It's like the greatest hockey knowledge.
He's like, don't ask me more questions. Don't ask me more questions.
Some people call it the ice tractor. That's fine. Too.
The ice tractor.
That's fine too. But if you don't know how to stop, Nick, the best part is you just run into somebody.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, there you go. Okay,
human blockade.
Before you guys go, can we do how many more? Two more?
Well, can we do some quickies maybe?
We'll do some quickies. Yeah. Just throw out your,
Well, Tierney wants to know, what's the worst thing a girl can do on a date?
Ooh. Take notes. Next. Sorry.
I don't know, Nick, go with that one.
That's up there.
You didn't even know it was up there until today.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was a thing.
The worst thing a girl can do, I don't know, just be, I don't just, I mean, it's, I don't know, just be present, want to have a conversation. I don't know. No, I'm saying like, I don't know what the worst thing is, but like, I mean, a first date, just kind of, you know, try.
For me, try. If I'm on a first date and the person is rude to like the waiter or something, I'm like immediately off. Yeah. Like it's off for me.
I will say, you know, I was talking this with a friend, like gender roles and things like that. You know, does a guy ask a girl and things like, you know, paying and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I will say, like, I'm still a traditional guy. I definitely appreciate who's eventually maybe willing to like chip in from time to time, mm-hmm. but I always expect to pay on the first date. But there's probably nothing more of a bigger turnoff than like the thank you for dinner before the check arrives, the assumption that I'm going to pay. Like, I want the insincere check grab. Like, give me the opportunity. Yeah. Like, no, I got this. Right. Like, I always want to pay. I don't even care if the date goes bad. Right. Okay. But, you know, like some girls are just like, thank you.
That's,
and I'm like,
so
I guess I'm paying. Like, all right. You know, so I think that's a bit of a turnoff. So just pretend that you want to pay for it.
Always pretend. Always
Brooks
offer.
Is like, got it.
I got it. I didn't know what it was, but I agree with that. I agree with you, Nick. But I was thinking on it. I was like, I don't know what I would say with that, but do not talk to me about ex-boyfriends.
Don't.
And also, like, yeah, like, don't bring that up and just, like, because you see so many people, that their first date, they're talking about how many exes or how this relationship, like, are you here to talk about them or are you here to meet me?
Yeah.
You know, like, are we here to start a future or are we here to, like, rehash
what the past?
That's just, like, I'm probably just getting up from the table.
Yeah. Well, it might just be an L.A. thing, but name dropping.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Is the worst.
So I was at a party with so-and-so
and I have this, like,
shh.
Yeah.
Shh.
Oh.
Right, the virgin thing. Sarah wants to know about the virgin thing. She says, there's the virgin thing. How do guys feel about that? And when is the right time to bring it up if a girl is a virgin?
I was thinking when you go on a national dating TV show is like the perfect time to really bring
drop
it up.
That bomb.
Yeah. People ask this all the time, and I don't have the guy answer, obviously.
I don't know. There's so many variables. I mean, I get the right answer is whatever's comfortable for you. I mean, listen, the guys are going to have probably a variety of different opinions. I mean, in 2018, being a virgin later in life is the exception, not the norm, but doesn't make it wrong. So whatever's comfortable for you, just be a good, don't make it weird, I think would be my advice, right?
Yeah, like, be confident.
If you do it, just own it. This is why like, don't ask, are you okay with that right away?
Mm-hmm,
just know that you're okay with it, and that doesn't really matter what they think, would be my advice. And I think just confidence in your decisions, I think, is attractive to anyone. So if I met a woman who explained why she was and was very confident in her decision but not, like, defensive about it, I'd find that very attractive.
Yeah, he nailed it. Yeah. I know two people that were virgins until they got married.
Mm-hmm.
And they dated for like 2 years before they got married and stuff. So
there's lots of other stuff to do,
guys. It's called foreplay,
people. Like, if you know, like,
yeah,
go online if you don't know. But there's like lots of other stuff to do.
Hey, Nikita wants to know: do guys even read bios on dating apps, or is it just the picture that's all that matters?
Yeah, what bios? I mean, come on. I love to travel, and a guy who makes me laugh.
Totally.
Come on. dating apps for me, yes, certainly the pictures matter. Also, advice on dating apps. If I don't know what you look like by picture two, you know, it's just like, the first picture is a girl and her friend. The second picture is like this, like her looking away in the distance. It's like, next. I mean, I can't. Like, I don't, are you, like, is why? Are you trying to be, like, you're already playing hard to get? I don't even know who you are. But yes, I think initially when it comes to dating apps, the physical attraction is, like, that's, you know, I mean, that's certainly, there's a lot more to it, right? You match with someone and, like, you take a look, a deeper look, and you try to have a conversation and see if that's easy. But I think initially, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put too much time into your bio. The bios I have seen, it's just like, you immediately get defensive. Just like, I like this, I like that. If you like this, don't reach out. Blah, blah. It's just like, oh my God, I don't, like, there's a lot of that. So I think just simple as safe when it comes to dating apps, you know, take it slow. Don't turn people off before they get a chance to get to know you.
Yeah.
I've never been on a dating app. I have no experience. I never had any social media until I met my wife. So she was like, can you get an Instagram page? Because I was deliberately not on social media because it gives hundreds of thousands of fans just like a chance to berate you. You suck tonight.
Yeah.
Right.
You should be traded or cut. Like I was just like, I don't want that. So I never had social media. And then my wife was tagging me in photos and it would go to a dead link. And she was just getting bombarded with messages like, hey, can you just, and people are telling her that's a dead link. I want to follow this guy. And so she's like, can you get a social media account? So that's how I got on. I've never been on a dating app, so I have no.
Well, actually, this is an interesting question for you. Because you obviously dated people before your wife. What was it about her that was different for you that was like, she's not, I don't want her just to be my girlfriend. I want her to be my wife.
Wow, great question. Best friend. I mean, just somebody you can, it's hard. Like, actually, like, it's hard to go on a date with somebody and just absolutely be enamored by them. Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard to do that. Maybe the first or second, but it's like continually, it's tough to find that person. And one of the big things about my wife, when we first started talking, the first actually like night that we really had a really long conversation, she told me that she was a lake girl, that she went to this lake up in northern Idaho. And I was like, really? Because I just looked at her like she lives in LA. She's an actress. She might be a city, quote unquote, mm-hmm, right, city girl. And I'm from the prairies in Canada. My hometown has 600 people. We're a farming community. So like city is a different
vibe.
Yeah, for me. Mm-hmm. So it's weird that I'm living in LA now. And trust me, I didn't think I'd be here. But I was like, wow, this is an outdoor girl. She's got city in her too, but she's an outdoor girl. And she was swinging off rope swings into the lake and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, that really hooked me. And then we just started vibing. And like I said, we talked for 2 months before we had ever met each other. So you sort of have an idea of who, you know, without even going on a date, you already like this person this mm-hmm. much. That was it for me.
I mean,
but so I wouldn't recommend it. I mean, I'd rather went on an in-person date with my wife sooner than that. But for us, that was the way it went, you know.
Yeah.
But relationships are also, I don't think, meant to be hard.
True.
Great
like,
point.
It's like I hear people all the time, like, who are dating, and it's like complaining about this, that, the other thing. And I'm like, it's just, it's not for, I feel exactly the same way. Like, Gary is my best friend. And it's like not difficult.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like we don't fight. We don't like, you know, we're not those. We just don't fight. It's just like not part of, I didn't sign up for that. I don't want to spend my life with somebody
fighting
who I'm fighting
someone.
With.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No, I don't have friendships like that either. So I think it's like super, if it doesn't feel like if it's not easy in the beginning, it's definitely not going to get easier. Like, it's just not.
Yeah.
Good indicator.
I think it's funny. I think a lot of people confuse the fact that relationships should be easy, to your point, but they also take work. And that
yes.
they're different, mm-hmm. right? Because yes. people use that excuse like, well, you know, it's relationships, you know, like, yeah, they do take work. I mean, yeah. to have a relationship where you don't fight a lot and you communicate, it takes a lot of work to communicate, but they should be easy. And mm-hmm. I think sometimes people confuse those two.
Yeah.
Yes. Picking up cues helps, which is also something you can use in dating too, is like, you know, what I was saying about you and taking notes is kind of like that. It's like, jotting down the things.
No,
I'm just no, but in a good, but in a positive way.
Afterwards.
In a positive way, is those are well, when you're in a relationship or married, you have to be present enough to pick up cues from the other person. You know, and like there, you can't be asked to take out the garbage. It's like you're an adult; just take
right.
the garbage out. You know, it's not. And for me, I think it's those simple things that make a relationship, you know, just like doing stuff and being present and being engaged and involved in the relationship.
Yeah.
It's not that deep. I don't think.
So good.
Is it?
No, I'm obsessed with you guys. Like, what in the world?
No, I want this like every week. I like
that. Nick made a great point. It's not work, but it is. It's because you love something. It's just like you're so passionate about your career, you're going to work on it because
yeah.
you love it.
Uh-huh.
And so people look at a relationship like it's work, and they say it with that connotation. It's work, but if you're actually in a great relationship, as Brad is talking about, it's work, but it's enjoyable because you're growing it. And my wife and I say we want the best effing relationship ever.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to put some energy into it, and both sides. I have to give, and she's got to give, and you. It's not like, oh, I got to punch in and work here. It's like, hey, I want to grow this and make this better.
Yeah.
Life's already on fire, but let's make it better. And
yeah.
that's what
yeah.
both these gentlemen are
I
talking
know, and
about.
I think yeah. that's like a lot of people always tell me. They're like, Tanya, you want a relationship too much. And I'm like, I think that there's so much power in a pair.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I'm totally good on my own. But I think having a partner that's just like that brings out the best in me, and we can like conquer the world together. Mm-hmm. I think there's so much beauty in that. You know what I mean?
I think you want the right relationship.
Of course.
And so anyone who's judging you for wanting a relationship, it's like, no, you want an awesome job. You want an awesome life. So you should want it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's just like,
that's
I think,
a good thing.
Yeah. It's like, I think there is, so there's so much power in a pair. And I think that that's like really apparent too. I've actually listened to another podcast that you and Julianne were on. I can't remember which
Ed
one.
Ed Mylett?
Maybe. Yeah. And it was like kind of how you work together to this like common goal and you push each other and you grow. And it's like, I think there's something really powerful in that.
Well, it's like a rule of life. You're either a person that adds to or takes from.
Yeah.
So if you're like in a relationship to add to it, it's going to flourish. If you're in a relationship to take from somebody else and not give anything back, then it's like, it's disaster central.
That's a really good point. And it's not, I mean, I'm envious of you two. You guys obviously have some great relationships, and hearing you guys talk about your relationships, it's pretty evident that you guys are in this true partnership where you both had this kind of 50-50. It's funny, I when I get a lot of questions about relationships, and I see this a lot with like the younger generation. When you're younger, it's just you can only do 100% of your half, right? And at the moment when you start feeling like you're I do all this and I feel like I'm supposed to do this, and you can't, if they're not doing their part, you can't do it for them. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're doing your 100% and then you try to do 50 of theirs, it's just not going to work. And I think you have to set expectations of yourself and what your expectations of your partner are. Because I see that a lot with younger people trying to make it work. And if they're holding on to something that might not be there, and it sounds like you guys are pretty lucky guys.
Or someone to like complete you.
Yeah.
That's like,
well, not, help you make like I always say, like, you can't find someone who fixes you. You can't someone who makes you a better person. It's up to you to be your best self. But there are people who bring out the best in you, right?
Yeah.
They're people who know your insecurities and your weaknesses, and instead of pushing your buttons, they help to limit your anxiety and stress
totally.
Because they understand you. And I think that's the challenge sometimes in dating, and certainly for me.
Yeah,
I would say to your point too. You were talking before, and I really resonated with me. You're like, should I tone down this personality on this text? Should I make it shorter? And I would say, no, don't ever change, because that was something that drew me to my wife, because that wasn't me. And I was like, this girl's kind of crazy, and I love it.
In
a nice way. She dances, she's impromptu, she does these different voices and these little flares, and she's just getting something out of the fridge.
Yeah.
I'm not like that.
Right.
I'm not an artsy guy. I'm a sports guy. But that kind of over the top, it drew me to her. So I would say for you, don't change that. The person that's meant for you is going to love and should not only appreciate, but promote more of that out of you.
I totally agree.
We always, Tanya is, it's always this like, do I tone it down? Do I hold back? And it's like, and she even constantly is like, no, like, I know when it's the right guy that this is what is going to work for him.
Yeah.
And he's going to love this about me.
Because it's like, I can't just change for the beginning of something, because I'm stuck with the way that I am for my whole life. Like, I'm going to be this way the rest of my life. So it's like.
But also, you're so sure of who you are and what makes you up as a person, and you're unapologetic for it as well, which is like most people can't say about themselves, that you will, when you meet the right person, you will thrive like beyond your wildest dreams because you're already so in touch with who you are, right? So you want somebody else who's going to celebrate that. You don't want somebody who's like, I wish her texts were shorter.
I like
more
her.
More emojis, please. Less words. So today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist from anywhere at any time. All you need is a computer with internet connection or the Talkspace app. That means you can improve your mental health even if you've had trouble making time for it in the past.
Yeah, and I think we all need to remember that therapy isn't just about venting your innermost thoughts or digging into childhood memories. It's also about practical everyday strategies for stress management, anxiety, and living a happier life altogether.
Yes.
I mean, you do self-work by working out, self-help, working out, and taking time for yourself, which you talked about. But sometimes you do just need to talk to someone.
It's true.
And that's why Talkspace is something Scrubbing In really stands behind.
The Talkspace platform has over 2,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing life challenges that we all face. To match with the perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/Becca and use the code Becca to get $45 off your first month and show your support for this show. So Talkspace.com/Becca.
Becca.
Okay, well, I like to call myself a vegan because I try to be vegan, but I stumble. I still eat things that are not vegan, so it's like I'm a fake vegan, but I try, you know, so I'm a vegan. So with Thrive Market, I'm able to be a vegan as I want, and I can kind of filter out my dietary preferences right on the homepage, and they will have pages of snacks and food that are friendly to your diet. I just ordered some vegan and organic pumpkin flax granola.
We're going, Tanya, a bunch of Thrive Market gifts that are so ridiculously awesome. I can't even talk about Thrive enough because it is, somebody was talking earlier about how it's hard to be like healthy and organic and it's so expensive. This blew my mind.
My wife and I get Thrive.
It is so insane. Yeah. You can get all these products for less. Like, I know I sound like a crazy spokesperson, but like, I am
a customer. I can hear your passion.
Oh, I am obsessed. Like, I did not know. I did not know about it. Like, until they started sponsoring our podcast, and I'm like a freak. The boxes come, and I'm so stoked. Like, ketchup, mustard, chocolate, rice cakes. Like, at half the price.
Yeah, it's really true. The savings is actually unbelievable for the quality of the products.
I know. And I, last podcast, we talked about me trying to eat healthy. And I have.
Yeah, how's that going?
You know, it's going. I'm making progress.
I mean, according to your Twitter, you know, like it's always like Taco Bell every.
I know. I'm trying to be better. But this like really helps me because I'm not one of those people who loves to go to the grocery store and browse the aisles. I like to, now that there's like delivery options, this is ideal for me. So now I can order healthy snacks, healthy food that I can cook because I've been trying to cook. And it comes straight to my door. And it's like Whole Foods, but it's like way more affordable because everyone always, you know, Whole Foods is really expensive.
Oh, yeah. And I'm a big fan of the Meijer cleaning products. Like, because the, you know, I mean, I know Becca and I could not be more opposite. Like, she likes... She's always at Taco Bell. I like the like kale. Give me the romaine, even though there's
Myers is good.
No, you don't eat romaine.
Not right now, but
iceberg.
Mrs. the Myers cleaning products are so expensive. Not at Thrive.
Yeah. All packaging boxes.
I love this too.
Yeah, and inserts are made from recycled paper and are recyclable. 100% zero waste. And this is the first company in the country to go zero waste. So let's give Thrive a hand.
Love it.
Clap.
I love sustainable products.
Yep. Yes.
So Thrive Market's prices are already up to 50% off, and now they're giving you an extra 25% off your first order and a free 30-day trial. So skip the holiday lines at the market and have Thrive delivered straight to your door.
There's no code necessary. Just go to thrivemarket.com/Becca. Shop around, and the discount will be applied at checkout. Thrivemarket.com/Becca. Excuse me. Thrivemarket.com/Becca.
Becca. Sorry, I was holding these... rice
Tanya's cakes. Like trying to eat already.
I know. Okay, well, thank you guys so much. For...
I'm so sad this is over.
I'm so sad.
This is such a
thank
great
you for having us.
Comeback episode after the holidays. Like, y'all really brought it for us.
After the holidays and after.
Yes, say it. I know where you're going.
Winning a People's Choice Award. Award-winning podcast.
Thank you. We didn't want to have to bring it up again for ourselves.
Yeah. But again, before we wrap, let's round table where everybody can get everything and like where they can follow you. Give us everything.
Sure.
Promote yourself.
Yeah.
Just online, any social media channel, at Brooks Like, BROOKSLAICH. And then our Open Gym is at Open Gym across all social medias as well. Very
amazing.
I'm at Brad Goreski. Like,
and what's your YouTube channel?
I think it's actually Tanya's. I think it's just me on Tanya's YouTube channel.
Do you want to spell your last name? It could be confusing.
Oh, G-O-R-E-S-K-I. And it said Goreski, not Gorski.
There you go.
I just followed Brad.
Oh, I'll follow you back.
He's a good follow. I'm not going to lie.
I'm a fun follow.
He is.
So they say.
Nick, that brings us to you.
I'm at Nick Vial on Instagram. My Twitter's terrible. Like, it's Vial Nicholas 28. Like, back in the day, you know.
Mine's
like,
I don't, five.
What was like, I'm embarrassed by my handle, so I don't even bring it up.
Wait.
You gotta call somebody on Twitter there.
Yeah, right?
What was your first email account?
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking about.
It came from AOL Instant Messenger. That was my, like, handle, and so I just used that because, you know, it was so long ago.
Yeah. Mine was Shakira Wannabe One.
Lies!
No! Tanya!
Tanya!
Girl, you're awesome.
Shakira Wannabe One?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Whoa.
At Hotmail, I think.
You're like,
at Hotmail.
Hey, send me an email.
Shakira Wannabe
did
One.
Did you want to be Shakira?
She had a synergy club.
I know, I did.
So somebody else said Shakira wannabe.
Yes.
You had to go with a one.
I had to go with the one.
It's like, oh, underscore one. yeah, and then Natural Habits on Instagram and nhoils.com.
Oils
there
are
we
great,
go.
By the way.
Are you secondhand embarrassed for me?
No, the more information I get, the more I love you.
I know. It's like you think you know everything, and then she drops the notes thing. Shakira wannabe one.
Good.
I think you need
to do like some sort of YouTube channel of, you know, Tanya takes notes and it's.
I had a Shakira and John Mayer fan club in high school. I know that.
Synergy
club.
Exactly. And then John Mayer was like, why didn't I have my own club? And I said, because I was the president and I liked you both equally.
You know, my sister would do the Canadian version of the John Mayer fan club with you if you want.
You should get that back up.
She sent me a text over Thanksgiving of his Billboard magazine cover saying she couldn't get it in Canada anywhere and would I buy it for her and send it to her.
Oh my God. Whoa.
Die hard.
Mandy's also a big podcast listener. She listens every single week when the podcast is up. So
she's really upset I didn't say that I was coming on the show when we were texting this morning. Oh. So
she got a shout out. All right.
Mark's going to wrap us up.
I need to thank some people. First of all, Amazon Fire TV. Go to amazon.com/scrubbingin to get a Fire TV of your very own. BioClarity for 50% off a routine plus free shipping. Enter our code
Becca.
At BioClarity.com. For 40% off your first legacy box, go to legacybox.com/Becca. For your new favorite flats and free shipping, it's Rothys.com and enter the code
Becca.
We're really getting good with the new one.
We've got
Talkspace. Talkspace, $45 off first month with the code
Becca.
Thrive Market, 25% off your first order and a free 30-day trial. That's thrivemarket.com/Becca.
Wow. Wait, I really enjoyed this episode so much. I just don't want it to. I just can't.
We're an a cappella group now.
Who's going to call Time of Death?
I don't.
Acapella.
Acapella. We're the acapella group.
Here comes had to trouble. Be done. Mantle?
The best Mantle.
I'm not good at Time of Death. I really
makes you feel dark? Okay.
No, I did it badly last time I was here.
Brad can't tell time, so who would like to do the honors?
What's that?
So basically, we just call the end of the podcast Time of Death. Mm-hmm. It's the death of the podcast.
Because it's scrubbing in. We're in the OR.
We're in the OR.
Makes sense. Like sound.
Oh, yes. We sure do. All right, Brooks.
Flatline.
Brooks, you want to call it?
You got this.
12:56 and 47 seconds. He's dead.